Greetings to each of you in the name of Jesus again this evening. I think our devotional this evening goes very well with what I wanted to share with you this evening, thinking about our thirst for God and for the Word of God. Title I've given to the message this evening is The Blessing and Fruit of Daily Fellowship with God. I think we've already been introduced to that. A couple of verses in Psalm 1:1-2 says, Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So we have that need among us. I think that we all are born, we're born with thirsty souls. We have a need within us that needs to be filled. Appreciated those thoughts that were shared with us. A little bit later on, we want to look at John chapter 1 and just want to be an encouragement to you that today, this evening, to have a daily fellowship with God that is a blessing to your life, a blessing and bears fruit in your life. This is something, thinking about a daily walk with God, a daily time that we feed on the Word of God is something that can be a struggle. At times, it's hard for me to fit this in. There's interruptions that come, and if we don't put the priority on it that we need to have, it is very easy to have that interrupted. So it's a struggle for me, and I need to make sure that I take the time that I need. I suppose that y'all are the same as we are down there, that you have a struggle, that your lives are busy as well, and there's many interruptions that come. But I think it is good that we find a time in the day when interruptions are at a minimum. We think about the many things that interrupt us nowadays. It was interesting, the article they call it noise pollution, how much difference the amount of noise that we have in our day versus 100 years ago or 150 years ago. There's just a lot of things that make noise nowadays, and it interrupts us and makes us change what we're thinking about. Also, I heard about an inventor that didn't want when he was inventing a machine, he didn't want any interruptions, and he was so set on that, so interested in that he locked himself in his shop, and his wife would bring him meals and had a little window there where she would put the plate in through the window and he would take it, and all distractions were away from him. So he was very dedicated to his invention. And you think about that in relation to letting the things of the world aside as we look into God's Word and letting those interruptions, so easy for your phone to go off and see who it is, but it is, I think, interruptions get our mind on something else, and then it's harder to get back. Well, it's not just that we have our devotional time and then we go on. I don't want to bring it out that way. We do need our devotional time, our daily reading the Word of God. And it's not something that we set aside a certain amount of time and say, okay, I got that done, now I can go on. But it rather is something that we should want to make happen. It's a desire that we have, that like that thirsty animal that has been running a long time and it has a need, and we should want to have that need filled. And that's much, if we have the desire, it'll be much more likely to happen. Says there that his delight is in the law of the Lord. Is that where our delight is as we think about life? There's many things in this world that we can put our delight in, but is our delight in the law of the Lord? I think it will show that in our life. And if we do that, I think the law of the Lord will be our meditation day and night. There is a lot of other things that we can put our attention on. We want to think about the blessing and the fruit of daily fellowship with God, thinking about fellowship, the friendships that we have, the the thing, places we go for fulfillment. There are lots of them that are available nowadays, and it makes it, as the world has many of them to offer, it's a very serious thing that we consider where our fulfillment is found, where we find, where we go when we are thirsty. And those offers that the world have can look attractive sometimes, but let's remember what is most important. Thinking about the things that we meditate on, says here that in his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate. If that's where our delight is, we'll be meditating on it. But you think about the things that we think about the most. I thought about the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Thinking about meditation, the things that we think about and hold in high esteem, we need to remember that meditation continues on in eternity. You think about what Abraham said to the rich man. He said, "Son, remember thou, in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and tormented." So the rich man could meditate on his riches in hell when he lifted up his eyes and saw Lazarus there being comforted. He knew the things that he held dear in life were the reason why he was there. So he had things that he held in high esteem in this life, the things that he dwelt on, and he could think about them. And that's one of the miseries, I believe, of hell, is the things the memories that people have that will be there, of things that they held in high esteem, and they can see how futile, how very short-lived those things are, but now that's all they have to remember that they did. On the other side of that, thinking about eternity, in Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 says, "And he hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." So as we meditate on the Word of God and on what God has done for us, there's still an eternity that is coming that we can still dwell on those things. Isn't that amazing how that works? Okay, now I want to look at some verses in 1 John chapter 1. Thinking about the relationship that we have with God, the daily fellowship that we have with God, the fruits and the blessing of it. Fellowship with God works out into relationship with others as well. I want to read 1 John, I'll just read the whole chapter. 1 John chapter 1 says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifest unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." There in verse 3, he talks about the fellowship, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And then he says, "And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." The first point I have is our relationship with God is foundational to fellowship with others. We're thinking about the blessing and fruit of daily fellowship with God. Thinking about relationships with others. Our relationship with God is foundational to fellowship with others. He says that our fellowship is with the Father And as we make that relationship, or that we receive that relationship from God, then that ye also may have fellowship with us. And also in verse 7, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses. We know that sin put a barrier between us and God that needs to be taken care of. First of all, we can't take and make relationships built upon, we can't take care of our problems by building relationships between each other. It needs to be built with God first, and then they will be right between us and others. And that was the purpose of Jesus' life, was to reconcile us to God. Ephesians 2:16 says that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Colossians 1:20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. For the purpose of Jesus' life, the reason that he came was to make reconciliation between us and God and have that relationship taken care of. The sin question, the sin problem, the forgiveness that we need is answered. And then as we do that, we communicate with God, and relationships are built on a horizontal level between us and others. I think there are, when we think about relationships and fellowshipping with others, there's two things. I don't know if you'd say there's two necessarily, these are two different sides of the road, but there are people that say that relationships are all that matter. Just to have right relationships, just get along with everybody. We can work together. We're different, but we can still work together. And there's some good that you hear in that. There's some good that I think that maybe we could learn, that there is some truth to it. But we think about what it says here, that our relationship, as we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the other thing that I've heard is that my relationship with God is so good that it sets me apart from relationship with others. And it even sets me apart from the scriptures. I think too, we see that in these verses, it points out there that yes, we do need a good relationship with God, but we need to remember as we draw closer to God, we draw closer to the people that are doing likewise. So it makes a fellowship. It's just natural that as we seek God and have our sins forgiven, we draw close to those that are doing the same thing. I think one thing that those that talk about their relationship with God being so close, they don't need other people, they tend that God becomes the servant to them rather than them being a servant to God. Okay, in verse 4 there, our second point we found there, our relationship with God brings joy. Number 4 says, these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. There's the relationship with God, it brings joy into our heart, because we know that is open now. That Jesus has come, he has shed his blood, that we can have forgiveness of sins, and that was the barrier that was between us and God. And it brings peace. One of the ingredients for joy is peace, and we can have that peace. Think about joy that comes from a heart that is at peace with God. And when we are at peace with God, I think that it would mean that we also, and the scriptures would bring this out, that we are at peace with what he brings into our life. If we are at peace with God, then we understand that he is sovereign, and what he brings into our life, we can still have peace and joy in the hard things that come. In verse 5, it says there that this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Number 3 I have is God's part in this relationship is perfect. I think that you wouldn't have to live around me very long, that you would understand that as you relate to me, there's probably some things you'd have to overlook. And that's probably the way it is for all of us. But in the relationship we have with God, there is no darkness in it at all. Everything about God's message is light. There's no hint of darkness. James 1 verse 17 talks about the Father of lights with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. There's no hint of darkness in God. So when we have a problem with our relationship with God, we can know right away that it's not what God is giving to us, it's how we are responding to that. Okay, number four, the proof of our relationship with God is not in what we say, but in how we walk. Very simple, but it brings it right down to the heart. In verse 6 there, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Very, very simple. Chapter 2, verse 9 says, He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. It's interesting how he brings out there, if you say one thing and do another, proves that what you do is actually what is the truth. So it's not in our profession, but it's rather in how we walk. And we need to make sure that we confess our failures and have our profession and our walk the same. Now, he's not saying that we should have two different things there, but if we do say that we are in the truth, having fellowship with God, and yet we cannot get along with those around us, then it's the proof is in how our relationships are. There is a need that we fellowship with others. We have that need within us, and as we draw close to God, it will help in relationships with others. I'm sure there is good relationships with those outside of Jesus Christ can have somewhat of a good relationship, but when you think about the nature, our carnal nature being crucified and wanting to do what is good for others, there's no fellowship that can match up with that. Okay, the next point, number 5, I have 2 points under that. As we walk in the light, it brings us into relationship with others that do the same. We talked about that some already in the point number 1, but in verse 7 there he says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. We have fellowship one with another. There is a natural tendency within us, and I think even a God-given tendency within us, to relate to fellowship with those that are doing the same things. And you see it even in a natural sense in those that have similar interest in the world. Not too far from our place is a grass strip where people get together to fly their radio-controlled airplanes. And they, you know, the people that have similar interest are getting there and getting together there. And they find some fellowship with those that have the similar interest. I'm sure there is some good they probably get out of that as they get together with their friends. Depends on what interests there are. There are interests that are not healthy to mankind. But it is natural that we do that. And if you notice that those that draw away from close fellowships and talk about close fellowships and our church life, a lot of times they find others that are disgruntled with church life and they get together and fellowship with them. So you can see the irony in that. The next part of that point is, as we walk in the light, the blood of Christ cleanseth us from sin. Talks about that in verse 7. It says we have fellowship. If we walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. I believe God is looking for growth in our life. He's looking for us to grow into the image of Christ. 2 Peter 3, verse 18 says that we need to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, when we first come to the Lord, we don't know everything. We still don't, even when we're older. We don't know everything. We don't always do what respond as we should. But I believe he's saying that as we walk in the knowledge that he has given and in the fellowship that it produces, that will the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us as we understand his will for us and are following that. Jesus' blood covers us and we can walk in safety. Not that we are careless and say that we don't need to look into our lives, and I'm not talking about that. There's a lot of difference between a sincere person that is fellowshipping with God and believers. I think that's what this verse is talking about. It's not talking about the careless person that is looking for loopholes. God is looking for hearts that are seeking him. And I think it's God's blessing that he gives us the fellowship of the church with others that are doing the same thing so that we can grow into Christian maturity. We need the attitude that I need to learn from you. We all need that. Not so much that we need, as we think about fellowshipping together, not so much that I need to see how I can correct others. That's the wrong way to see how I can correct others, but rather that see how I can learn from my brethren that are following the Lord. Certainly as we have fellowship in church that we grow together, there is a lot we can learn from each other, a lot more advantage for many people to get together to seek God and to learn how to grow into his image than just one person doing it by himself. I just have some verses here on encouragement for reading and meditating on God's Word. 1 Timothy chapter 4. First Timothy 4:7-8 says, "But refuse profane and unwise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness profiteth unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." He talks about avoiding things that are not necessary. Refuse profane and unwise fables. There's a lot of things. That was some of the things that they faced in that day. Another place he talks about, I think it's endless genealogies and things that make strife in the church. Questions that bring about strife. Those are some things they faced in those days, and I don't know what all to apply that to as we face things now, but there are a lot of questions that come up that just more or less generate a lot of discussion rather than profitable things, and that's what he's telling us here, to avoid those things, but rather exercise ourselves unto godliness. We have a big enough job, at least I do, of exercising myself to godliness without stirring up strife with it. Verse 13, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear thee." See how he says that we need to give attendance to reading. I guess back again to the thoughts I had in the opening, and not just a certain amount of reading, but we need to give attendance to it, make it a part of our life. I think it is good that we take time to read through the scriptures. There are Bible reading plans. Most of all, it's our meditation with God, but God has given us his word, and we take magazines that come and we read them from cover to cover, and why wouldn't we do that? The Bible. There are many good Bible reading plans, but again, we don't want our focus to be on how often I can read the Bible, but rather how much that we can get out of it. It says, "Give thyself wholly to them," verse 15 there. Also, some verses in Deuteronomy chapter 17. God told these people that when they were in the land of Canaan, told the children of Israel that when they were in the land of Canaan, And they had a king that was set over him. He gave the king some instruction here. It says, "And it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne," verse 18, "when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them. That his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in the kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel." So that was the duty of the king, was to take a copy out of the law, a copy from the priest, and to write his own personal copy. You think about how long that would take. That would take a long time to write the Bible. I heard just recently of a man that told his children that if they copied the Bible, wrote it all the way through, he would buy their trip to wherever they wanted to go to visit other missions in the world. One of his children did it, and he kept his promise. But think about how long it would take, but yet that's what the king was supposed to do here. It wasn't as long then, but he was supposed to write that, and that way it was ingrained in his mind. And he says, "He shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, and to keep all the words of this law and his statutes to do them." And it was a guard against the pride that is so relevant when we have some power. As the pride comes, it says that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment. So it is very important that we read the scriptures and apply it to our life, that we learn to fear the Lord our God. Well, I want to express appreciation for your hospitality here this weekend. We've enjoyed being here with you and appreciate what we see very much, and just want to be an encouragement to you that you have a daily walk with God, continue to have one, and that God will bless you as you serve him.